Our next speaker is Greg Herman. Mr. Herman is a broadcast television company executive operating both Class A and low-power television facilities throughout Oregon. Mr. Herman is also president of Spectrum Evolution Incorporated and its advocacy arm, SpectrumEvolution.org, or SEO. SEO's primary mission is to promote fair, plausible, and intelligent broadcast spectrum policy. Mr. Herman and his team have been instrumental in elevating numerous issues relating to the development and deployment of next-generation technologies using broadcast television spectrum, and is frequently in Washington, D.C. for this purpose. Mr. Herman is the founder and president of Watch TV Incorporated, the first television broadcaster to promote foreign language programming in the state of Oregon. Here to talk about broadcasting and broadband is Greg Herman.
Good afternoon. Wonderful that you have all stayed all the way to the bitter end. I hope I make it worth your while. Thank you very much. I've been on both sides of this, and I know if you have to be the ones who really care if you're still here, so thank you. And of course, I've charged myself up with an interesting beverage. What else has that color but Mountain Dew? So if I start to glow, and I will know why. All right, well, we already know who I am. Broadcasters or broadband, kind of the theme I picked for this. Reason I picked that theme is just prior to the creation of the National Broadband Plan, we started seeing some significant concern amongst the existing FCC folks that somehow they didn't think that broadcasters had anything to do with broadband. And then, of course, here comes the National Broadband Plan, which really should give everybody pause, because in essence, except for footnote, I believe, 136, which we got in there and specifically said that broadcasters could do all sorts of things with their spectrum to compel and assist with broadband, up to including the fact that you all know we can carry IP packets inside ATSC. We're broadband if we want to be. We really felt that the FCC, and particularly the government, was not recognizing the contribution that incumbent broadcast licensees can play. So, the National Broadband Plan comes out and calls for more spectrum for wireless services. Thank you so much. Now I don't have to go like this every time. That's terrific. They want to increase the capacity for this demand, the crisis, the crunch, whatever you want to call it. They want more universal service. They want money. Money for the Treasury. Doesn't matter how we get it, as long as we get more money, and not enough people watch over-the-air TV to justify the amount of spectrum that's devoted to the service. Sorry. Doesn't matter where you live. When I started, I think we had 75, 80% over-the-air. Now I got about 10. If you've got cable carriage, or let's call it correctly, MVPD carriage, that's not so bad. But if you don't, that's how guys like me started thinking way ahead of the line. We don't have that. We are pure broadcasters, particularly Class A and low power for the most part. Without a broadcast audience, we don't exist. So we didn't like that premise very much. But we also recognize that to some extent it's true. I hit the wrong direction. Look at that. All right, here we go. Sorry I didn't rehearse, gentlemen. You'll have to give me a break. That'll be my last mistake, of course. So CPM advertising, the old model, at least for our segment of the industry, we don't have cable carriage, which pushed us forward to finding a solution for broadcast spectrum. We cannot lean back on a model that says, as people went to MVPDs, we just rode along with them. We just simply lost our audience. So we had to move forward. Not the same case for full power stations in the most part. That gives you a little more time. Competing advertising media are eating our lunch. Now, remember, I'm a broadcaster, so I love what we do and I'm proud of what we've done, but we're getting hurt. We don't have analytics like we should. We rely on things that are arguably getting eclipsed. The internet is taking away a lot of our business, and particularly the next generation of potential viewers, they just look at screens. care about broadcasting or the internet. My kids are perfect examples. Pick up a screen and they want their stuff on it. Why isn't the screen doing what I want? They look at a television, the television is supposed to do what they want it to do. They don't consider it having a limitation. Oh, jeez. No. Okay, it wasn't my first mistake. This is a sensitive little fella, isn't it? All right, so although sometimes this isn't the most popular thing I have to say, it is a fact. Having immersed myself for the last decade or so in other kinds of modulation schemes that have been deployed across the planet, we are not the envy of the world with 8VSB ATSC. It does what it does. We all understand how we got it, but it is not exact. It's getting a little long in the tooth. We still are stuck with receivers that are only MPEG-2, yet the government is talking about us sharing channels when they cram us down with a repacking. It's pretty hard to share high-definition channels without H.264, and yet Mr. Blair Levin, the architect of the plan, didn't even know that until we pointed it out to him. We don't have MPEG-4 receivers out there in the field. To wit, by the way, the answer was, well, then we'll just have to get some out there. Another $2 billion converter box fiasco. That's a great idea. Side note, I was talking to some gentlemen today at lunch. I personally requested of the NTIA that they put two things in the converter boxes, which would have made Mr. Levin's wonderful vision true. I said, I want you to put a USB port in the back so that we can have a post-conversion dongle to enable MPEG-4 in the future. USDTV, the defunct guys who did their little wireless cable thing, did it a decade ago. Not expensive, not difficult. And I said, you also need to have the boxes auto-reprogram themselves once a week at 3 in the morning on Sunday. So if you do have to change around your channel, if you do shuffle anybody, grandma isn't going to have to go 3 menus deep. They did neither of those things. So the fact that we still have MPEG-2 receivers, we can't fix that, and that's not going to make their plan easy. Another thing that I unfortunately have to share, at least from my perspective, is the next point. MH, and I know a lot of the guys who did it, and my hat is off to the people who worked so hard to actually put a mobile standard inside the fixed standard. It's not what you would call the most spectrally efficient solution for mobile. Its bits per hertz are terrible. I've built and operated 4 of them. How many of you have run MH? All right. So that is another challenge. A lot of people don't. All you hear is the rhetoric. I dove right in to find out if it works. There are 2 commercially available receivers. One's made by LG. It's a DVD player. Don't ever go and read the reviews from the people who bought it. It's not. It's ugly. And then there's 1 dongle. How many years have we heard, this is the year we're going to have mobile? That was, let's see, last year and the year before, and I think the year before, too. There are no devices. The wireless companies are not your friend, so if you think they're going to go start building a chip that they claim is going to run the battery life down on their phones for you, they're not interested in helping you out, but they are interested in one thing that you have, and that's your spectrum, because they really don't need you. But I think we may have some solutions that I'm going to try to illuminate here that will show that we should be collaborating with them, but we got to get our government on our side. Other thing is, in terms of using how we can make all of this perform better as we move forward into trying to be a part of the broadband solution, distributed transmission systems. Not the easiest thing to do in ATSC 8VSB, really not very difficult when you go to OFDMA or OFDM-based modulation schemes. It gets a lot easier. We need those for in-building penetration, for mobility, all the things we know we have to use our spectrum for. To respond to the argument that only 10 people, 10% of the nation watches your over-the-air signal, we have to find a way to use that spectrum that we have in such a way that people will be consuming it, and mobile is a logical extension of that. But DTS technology's got to be part of what we're going to do because it doesn't work well enough without it. Really doesn't. I mean, as good as we are at throwing out just flame-throwing amounts of watts, it's not the right way to get to the mobile world at the end of the day. And we also don't have any two-way capability. We can co-opt other people's two-way capability. That's a first step. But ultimately, we've got to move towards something that gives us control over how we take the true asymmetrical world that is the mobile broadband services and participate in that with a technology that makes that viable. Mobile's on its fourth generation. It's moving really fast. You realize everybody was angry with Apple that they took, what did they take? They took a year and a half. Was it 17 months to get the next iPhone down? Angry, as scalded cats, that they had to wait 17 months to buy another very expensive device that is better than the one they already had, which is already really good. Wow, that's a good business to be in. You had people clamoring to buy new stuff that they don't need. Amazing. Okay, so we're not pacing like that, guys. But that's the world. That's the consumer. We didn't invent that world, but we live in it. We can't stand still. We can't. That's why they're hunting us down. What audacity for the government to go to the broadcasting industry with the rich heritage and history of serving the public on a level no other spectrum user can ever claim over the decades, and have them have the audacity 2 years after the digital transition to say, you're inefficient users of spectrum. Off with your head. I'm astounded. But the answer's right there, the first part. We're not moving quick enough for them. They've got a different vision. If the industry just does what we do with the standard setting and moving slowly, I fear we are somewhat doomed. Not completely doomed, but a bit. Certainly not a world I think you're going to want to live in. So what do we have to do? I think we need to leverage the utility value of our wireless. Not for somebody else, but we have to create decent mobile reception. I just alluded to that. Increasing the efficiency of the modulation scheme we have. In China, with CMMB, they can do 50 channels. Now, these are little tiny mobile provision channels. We're not doing high def here. But it's something we should be able to do. And we should be able to bust out of saying we got to be with any particular encoding standard. I have seen encoding standards at DARPA. I've seen stuff that just blows me away. And with software-defined radios, really right now, we're on the cusp of software-defined radios. We don't have to worry about whether or not the device did it at any given moment. It can do it. It should do it. And we have a chance to actually lead if we do this correctly. If we know how to take advantage of what has been considered an infirmity in other areas, and that's legacy users, we can leapfrog over this in the broadcast industry if we do it correctly. IP content delivered by broadcast stations, and I'm going to get to this in a little greater detail in a moment. We factored that, I think it's 1.6 terabits a day with 15 meg of an ATSC channel. So what's that mean? Where are you going to put it? We need a place to put our broadcast data. We need to be able to, the only way to solve all of this crunch and crisis is an architecture change, and we should be part of the change. And the only thing we do should not be giving up our spectrum. But it means we're going to have to look at how we can interface with the existing receiver base, as opposed to specifically just saying we're going to stand around and stick and worry about the receiver base we have. I think we can solve for that, and I'll talk about it. The one-to-many component, which is, in essence, broadcasting, is what we do best. We're the broadcasters. Wireless guys are not broadcasters, although very recently the CTO of Verizon did say that when he gets your spectrum, you know what they're going to do with it? They're going to put an LTE broadcast architecture in, because that's the only way they're going to solve the challenge of the crunch. He said, we recognize that we're going to have to put content on the most appropriate network. Well, there's a novel concept. All I could say is thank you. Thanks for recognizing what we already knew. The only problem with your solution is we're supposed to be giving up the spectrum for you to do it. Not terribly comfortable with that part. So again, over the video demand for in the unicast architecture is just crushing it. It ultimately is crushing it on the wired side too. It doesn't make sense to have 100 people or 1,000 or 10,000 have unicast sessions with broadcast, particularly if it's real time. I remember during the inauguration, Sprint TV, I think they had 100,000 people there watching it, and they're out on the mall there watching big TV screens, but they wanted to see the inauguration take place right here, and they all fired up and just crashed the network. Well, how smart is that one? We got them all watching the same thing live at the same time, so we're going to send 100,000 or 1,000,000 unicast sessions. If that's all you got, I guess that's all you got. Broadcasters could have done a much better job. Or simply the idea that we're broadcasting IP content goes even farther. So what do we want to, what is it that Spectrum Evolution has at least been trying to illuminate and elevate in DC and in particular in Congress? The FCC is pretty hidebound on what they want to do. The existing chairman is very convinced that your job is to voluntarily give up your spectrum at auction. I asked this question to a couple guys this afternoon, but if you don't mind, humor me, because I do this all over the country, and it's very important for me to get feedback. We're broadcasters in this room. Apparently, none of us object to voluntary auctions. How many of you would like to put your station up for sale in a voluntary auction? Hey, what did I tell you? I have yet to find a broadcaster across this country who raises their hand. Yet apparently we're out there. I haven't found them. But they're banking on this, and remember, they're doing you a favor. You're supposed to thank them for an auction strategy that no one knows how much you're gonna get, that they're gonna set your value if they do based on broadcast usage, but they get to sell it based on wireless usage. Well, that was a fair deal. So, thank you for allowing me to diverge there, but once again, not one person in a broadcast community I have met says, yeah, we're up for the auction, can't wait. I think that we need to be able to choose our own modulation. We're the only wireless service that is bound to a standard. Does not mean that I don't respect the power of the fact that the standard has given us an audience. But the audience is not big enough to justify our use of the spectrum. We have to be able to fight back. One of the ways to do that is to cut us loose and let us decide what the modulation standard is. As long as it doesn't interfere with anybody's existing operation, and I assure you it doesn't, we should be able to use whatever prevailing modulation system provides the best service or best collaborative opportunity to drill into the devices that are out there. There will be an LTE broadcast standard. And all the devices will have it. Wouldn't it be nice if you were able to co-opt the cell phones? Because that's the standard you were doing. They're not going to put that chip in the phone. They have no reason to help you out. We think we should be able to provide more services, but we're not asking to be relieved of. I don't consider it an obligation. I would consider it an opportunity to provide our free-to-air services and our clear-to-air services. That's what makes us unique. The very least, it gives us a promotional opportunity for our other services. Don't want to give that up. Not to mention the fact that if we do, there's some statutory problems if we don't do free-to-air services. But that doesn't mean we should be restricted to those. We think that the marketplace should decide and that we, as independent business people, should be able to decide what we want to do, as opposed to having the government, which, quite frankly, more recently, not too happy with their track record on making good decisions, shouldn't be telling you what to do. I mean, we're way past this. Many of you have probably labored under rules in Part 73 that were generated post-Cold War. I mean, we're still trying to flush those rats out of the pipe. And yet we have to be competitive with the internet, and we have to be competitive with other services that are not bound by that. Again, not saying that I want us to lose respect for everything we have done in our communities, but by gosh, we certainly ought to be allowed to compete fairly. And I think also we have a tremendous role to play way beyond EAS or E-anything. You know, heck, I'm so amazed at how they screwed that up, it's beyond me. but we could do much more. We could collaborate with public safety on a very, very tight level, not just running something that says there's a tornado coming. We can actually help them to seize portions of our channel, particularly when we get IP. Very data-rich materials can be sent out geographically specific. We can do that better than anyone else. And when I've talked about DTS, I don't see us having hundreds and hundreds of little cells. I see us having, instead of one, maybe we have 5 or 10. But we will be infinitely more robust. Broadcasters don't know how not to be. We've been running a 24/7 service from day one for the most part. That's what we do. We never lived in a world without that. So some of the ways we can get there quicker right now without changing modulation is by co-opting a return path. There's no reason we can't use somebody else's return path, but the problem is in the large files, the video content of that kind. We can broadcast that out to PCs, TVs, you name it. The home cache is my favorite. We should be pre-positioning data at the edge. When I talked about that 1.6 terabits, that's where we put it. Every day, we could send hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of movies. The top 50 YouTube videos. The reason they're the top 50 is because 70% of the people that go to YouTube watch those same 50 videos. Why are they downloading them independently? You wouldn't know the difference. If we catched them, the proxy server in your home, you become the edge. The consumer becomes the edge. We can do this stuff. And broadcasters can leapfrog everybody. In fact, we become of assistance to wireless. We become of assistance to wired. If you've got a crummy DSL, it's never going to get the job done for you. But we can make that crummy DSL just a nice little return path for something we can participate in doing. And how are you going to make money off it? Most probably the content providers are going to be the ones who do it, or it could be leasing your bandwidth, but the bandwidth will get more and more valuable. There are a million ways to skin the proverbial cat in terms of generating revenue, but we've got to be relevant in the process before we're going to be able to monetize the bitstream. This was one of the experiments we did in Portland, Oregon. I took a few channels that I have in Portland, Oregon, and developed a distributed transmission system, kind of a stacked SFN. And we asked for this and said we would like to demonstrate that OFDM and OFDM-based services can live very nicely right alongside ATSC, so that we have a way to transition together. Initially, we were told that they thought that was a great idea. Then they dismissed it. The reason they dismissed it is they said it should have been a developmental license. Well, you can't get a developmental license unless you have data on the service that you want to develop. So you get an experimental in order to get a developmental. So they tied us up. Then they came back to us and said they were going to give us an STA. This is literally probably 6 weeks ago. And we said, gee, what's the change of heart? Change of heart is, we know that you had a channel 51 and a channel 6 in your proposed demonstration. We'd like to see how that works. The 51 is first adjacent to obviously the 700 meg auction spectrum. I think Verizon owns channel 52 everywhere, and if you've run into them, they have very little regard for incumbents that are on channel 51, other than you're in their way. And so we said, what if we can show you that instead of wasting a channel with a different modulation scheme, we can live very nicely. It's all OFDMA. This is, you know, thousands of carriers, not one carrier, very adaptive. They like that. And then, of course, they think that in a repack, they want to slam as many people back down into VHF as possible. We all know that there are some infirmities with ATSC, 8VSB in low VHF channels, and we were going to use a 6 and ultimately a 3 to try to show how we could actually make a business using spectrum that they think is garbage. So there was some, that was good. So what happened? I mean, our engineering, they said, was sterling. Said we're ready to go. This is what happened. They were afraid we would prove that broadcasters aren't inefficient users of spectrum. They were afraid we were going to prove that we can evolve into the future and be incredibly meaningful participants in the overall fabric of the national broadband plan. And they said this: we will not dismiss your application. However, we will not grant it now, nor do we ever see any time in the future that we will. All right, I'm glad you're laughing, because yes, that's just perfect. Now, I'm still working on this. I'm working on it in Congress, and I'm working, and we've had a lot of letters written, because Congress doesn't even understand this. I said, well, why wouldn't they let you try? It's a six-month STA, revocable. I mean, if you did something they don't like, what, call you up and tell you to turn it off. It's all on me. Didn't ask for any money from anybody to do it. Just wanted to prove on behalf of this industry that we have places to go, that there's things that they should see that we can get to, or maybe we want to get to over time, that make the one thing we can do to help the national broadband plan be much more than just contributing our spectrum to another company. We want to be the collaborative agents. We want to provide those services. I think we've earned the right. They don't want us to prove that. And I am at ground zero. Why? Sometimes I feel a bit stupid, but I am ground zero for trying to see that we can make that happen, and they will not even let us try. So the first time in my 30 years in spectrum-based businesses, it goes back to paging networks and SMR, and I've been in the site business and television for 20, it's the first time I've ever been told, you're not allowed to innovate. And I have said that to any number of Congress people. They don't like hearing that. But that's the truth. We should be allowed to innovate. And so far, they're not letting us. Some of the things we learned in our tests were kind of interesting. The performance of the existing, if this is what you think about, this is all backup data on why I'm saying you need to consider what our future is. It needs to be beyond what we have today. I had every single MH receiver you get your hands on. I actually have one of those hand-built little HP laptops that were done in the test. I got four of them. And we had dongles from all sorts of guys. They're really not very good. And the receiver specs are all over the map. I mean, it's inconsistent. Again, we have a working mobile system, but at what expense? At what cost? You can see some of the data here. I won't read it all for you, but I mean, look at this stuff. 7.33 meg gets you an actual throughput of 1.9. That's usable. That's because they're resending it over and over and over to make it robust. That's because they have to. But that's not the state of the art, folks. I don't want to deploy late in the game with something that isn't even close to the state of the art. I don't want to wish that on anybody. And maybe if we'd done it 4 years ago when they first said that's going to happen, and then 3 years ago when they said it was really going to happen, and then 2 years ago when they said it was really, 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 maybe. But the world is definitely passing us by. The way to do this, if anything, is for us to be able to penetrate all the mobile devices with a last foot or last 30 feet of Wi-Fi. That's how we get. Whatever we choose to broadcast, you want to get into all the devices. What doesn't have Wi-Fi right now that you'd really like to have your material on? My iPad does. Most phones do. In fact, most TVs being sold right now have Wi-Fi built into them now. You don't even have to have the little dongle on the back. So there's lots of ways for us to get there, but I fear that the solution that we are being given within ATSC 8VSB is inadequate the day it starts. Sad, but true. We, again, down here at this point, the standard, even with 153, is not near equivalent for efficiency for spectrum use. Just look around the world. ISDBDTB in the Japanese-Brazilian service blows us out of the water. CMMB, developed by Professor Wei Lu in the University of Washington, for the Chinese government. So we created it, they scaled it. $8 for a dongle blows everything we've got out of the water. I'm not happy with that. I think we need to be the best. And why aren't we the best? Well, I don't think either we're allowed to, or we haven't realized that the cadence that we're moving at as broadcasters, we got to look around. Everybody's running, and we're walking. So again, I think we're being crippled by the fact that we have a standard that doesn't float freely with technology. I don't think we can be viable competitors in a wireless world. And remember, as broadcasters, I know we have two things. We have content. Our content is important. But we're not making use in the minds of the regulators of our spectrum in a way that they are comfortable with leaving it in our hands for the most part. Right now, the one thought is, well, if we repack you, you know, the big four, maybe five of you, well, you'll get to stay on. You share some channels somewhere. You'll be all right with that. That's not thriving, folks. That's being allowed to survive. I don't think that's what I would consider a robust long-term strategy for the spectrum that anybody has based their business on. Or the fact that they can say, well, the only reason these guys have spectrum is to get retrans and cable carriage, and you know, we're going to blow up the must carry rules eventually here. You know, 2012 is coming up. So that's all they use the broadcast channel for, just to ensure they get on cable. This is the prevailing wisdom there. They think there's lots of other ways for people to be. They like radio. They think radio is very important. But you guys, broadcasters, yeah. There aren't even a lot of decent digital portable TVs. Although I have a few. There are some nice ones. There's more than there were, but they haven't proliferated. And they're in the standard's not easy to receive on a portable TV. I mean, you've got to really be in a good spot. And we're not playing to our strengths. And I think consumer choice is being limited. We need to be able to float freely and give the people what they want. I have asked, like I asked you the question about who wants to be in an auction, asked a lot of 20-something folks this. Would you rather have more free over-the-air television, or would you rather have faster broadband service for your phone? Faster broadband service. I said, well, free TV. Yeah, but how much faster will it be? Is it going to be cheaper? Right, and that's what they're selling. You get our spectrum, it's going to get faster and cheaper. I don't believe that, by the way, given the people who will buy it. That's not really their game. But that's the one they're pitching. Just an FYI. The industry that wants your spectrum is the wireless industry. We all know that because they need it desperately. Even though they already have an average of 120 meg each, and they're probably only using half of that, they need it because they want to leapfrog their technologies. That's how they're winning this. People look at their utilization and say, you guys have lots of spectrum. They go, no, you don't get it. We got legacy services, so we can't just rebuild the spectrum. This has to stay, and we need more for this and more for this. So they need, the crunch is in how they transition as much as the capacity itself. We're not winning this argument. We should be, but we're not. And I think there's ways that we can, but it's going to require us to really activate and not hope against hope. All right, so how? With DTS type of architecture, and as I said, I'm not talking about hundreds of cells. I know it always freaks out broadcasters. Do you know how much my site rental bill will be if I have 100 cells? You don't need 100 cells. But we do want to be able to reuse spectrum when we can. And we want to increase the mobile ability of the spectrum by bringing it closer to those devices. And I think that's really where the future is. We can do multi-frequency networks. Yes, it may require collaboration amongst the industry, but it beats the heck out of what's coming down the road. I mean, you can share these sites, beat each other up everywhere else, but ultimately, broadcasters can't be islands, or we're going to lose it. Talked about the OFDMA a little bit, and for example, the CMMB as a standard based on OFDM. They've got the chip. Everybody makes a handset with CMMB in it. Every single major manufacturer. In fact, I think I found an iPhone hunting around, but it's not terribly public. Already have the chip. There would be no issue about getting it in the phones. And these are GSM phones. So now what are you going to say to the guys? Well, we don't want to build that in our phones. Well, it's already in the phone. Oh, that's different. Why? Because we're not carrying the whole load ourselves with ATSC, which isn't that good to begin with, comparatively. Ancillary service fees. Most people in Congress have no idea that this industry already is positioned to help provide more revenue for deficit reduction. Our ancillary services, those which we do not provide free or clear to air, are subject to a 5% user fee, we'll call it, on your gross. So if you're making $1 million a month off of ancillary services, you're paying $50,000 to the government of the gross. Interesting idea. We're trying to make sure they understand we haven't even gotten to start down the road. They came up with the idea. We haven't even gotten to try to exploit the opportunity to give them the money before they're trying to snatch the spectrum back. Gotta absolutely make that clear that broadcasters are innovative. Whatever technology we use, that's another important thing that's got to be illuminated to the government. We are a solution. We're not an impediment. And we can even provide, and I've checked this, based on what you want, we can push internet content free. That might be a way for us to maintain our free-to-air and clear-to-air service. Talk about messing with some folks. When we start doing using what we know how to do, which is the advertiser-supported model, boy, wireless guys don't do much for free. Last time I checked, they don't give you anything for free. The best thing they do to you is tell you if you want the phone for half price, you got to sign up for 2 years. That's their idea of generosity. Broadcasters, we give free stuff away all the time. Advertisers support it. So, this is just an example. I actually was part of the group that filed for this in the last window. This is how much we believe in this. That's the footprint we filed for before they slammed closed the last filing window. It was based on a couple of things. TV wasn't licensed for mobile. And I've been working in the mobile environment almost since its inception, and I said, we really ought to file along commerce corridors. That'd be an interesting idea. Have stations that are in between the stations that are there. Because when we filed for translators, if we had them, we put them in other communities in our DMA, but we didn't care that much about the roads. But now mobility is the key. All of that's going to go to the wireless companies. Everything on there. If we don't get a solution that gives people what they want. Because I'll tell you what, building ATSC television stations on that will not make it work. I cannot monetize it. But I'll tell you what, if I could give people what they really wanted, better, faster, cheaper, sooner, IP connectivity in their devices, even with an intermediary that's Wi-Fi enabled, we're rocking. And every broadcaster is back in the game. I get a lot of questions about this proposal being detrimental to the uniform technical standards, which have helped us to prosper. Let's just say you accept that the number is 70% or 80% of viewers that in some way acquire your broadcast service or your content on an MVPD service. Let's just say that's a correct number. And how many of those boxes, whether it be DirecTV, Dish Network, whoever cable you've got, maybe you've got somebody trying Fios somewhere, some kind of fiber, I don't know. Maybe it's some SMAT-V system that they got in their house. One way or the other, if there's a box involved, not a lot of uniform technical standards in that, and you don't care, as long as the people can watch your content and you're doing it right and you got the eyeballs. You don't reach in, broadcasters don't reach in and say, you know, I'm very concerned about whether or not every set-top box is exactly the same. We don't care. But all of a sudden, well, when we get into TV receivers or changing them, people have this allergic reaction. It's not a big deal. We're in the digital space now. We can get it back into any form we want. It doesn't cost a lot, but we sure as heck better get our delivery structure to be the very best and something that we can monetize more easily. We don't have to obsolete customer receivers. There are many ways to do this. We do not have to change from ATSC tomorrow afternoon. We want the opportunity to do it when we choose. We don't want to get rid of our free-to-air obligation or opportunity, depending on how you look at it. Now, I get both sides of the story. The All-Channel Receiver Act is toast. I was vehemently, and many of you may disagree, but vehemently opposed with letting not the camel, but the herd of camels under the tent when they said, well, we don't want to have A53, A153. We want to be able to break that out. I said, no, you don't. Oh, yeah, we got to. No, you don't, and you shouldn't. Because what you just did is you just shot the All-Channel Receiver Act in the head, which generally worked to our benefit, but not anymore. Now TiVo's out of it too. It's gone. So that feeds the first point. Shouldn't worry about uniform technical standard. We should worry about being the very best we can be and deploying the very best technology. So why do I think the FCC's wrong and at least collectively broadcasters are right? They shouldn't be making value judgments on services. It's not what they're in the business to do. They are picking winners and losers. And having been back there I'm there all the time, it is unbelievable how much they think it is definitely their job to decide you lose. Wireless wins. We don't like what you do, we like what they do. That is not their job. And I think I'm gonna get a button that says abolish the FCC. Not because I don't have a lot of friends there, but their time is rapidly running out. And they have tendrils into things they should never have tendrils into. They should be fair arbiters of opportunity. They should be doing everything they can to compel success with their children, which are all of the different spectrum users. Not just I don't want to become the ugly stepchild at the FCC, and yet, trust me, I have been as a low power broadcaster for decades, and now the guys I looked up to, the full power broadcasters, starting to treat you guys the same way. Total and complete lack of respect. And I find that intolerable. And they're favoring large corporations. Why? They're a bureaucracy. They like working with bureaucracies. If any of you ever want to have some fun, you know what a FOIA request is, right? Freedom of Information Act. I know you're all busy, so am I. Why don't you do a FOIA request on the chairman's calendar and the people in the media bureau? See who they meet with on a daily basis. I think you'll be very interested in whose names you see on there. It ain't gonna be broadcasters. It's gonna be guys who want your spectrum, and they're there all the time. And they're big corporations, they park people there. And as I said, we can't win this. $48 million a year is how much the wireless industry is spending on lobbying. That's 100% of Congress and the Senate, full boogie contributions. And down about 10 states into the farm teams where the next guys are coming. They have total and complete regulatory capture. Can't compete with them with money. We can compete with them with the hearts and minds of your viewers. They're still afraid of you guys. They're afraid of your ability to influence opinion. And there are only two things they're afraid of: money, because if they don't have enough, they can't win, and votes, because if they don't have enough, they can't win. If you want to keep in the game, you got to start. And again, I think NAB does a fine job, but I don't think necessarily they have. I'm uncomfortable with the situation that every time I stand before broadcasters, I can find no one who says they want to auction, yet NAB is still saying, yes, it's voluntary. You know, we want to make sure it's open to you. That's a dangerous precedent, because it means if they get the authority to auction your spectrum, the FCC does not need authority to repack you. They only need authority to share the revenue from the auction with you. They can repack you tomorrow if they choose. They should never even be thinking it. The government's focus is on the consumer side. It's fascinating. They don't see that we should be network side. They've already figured this out. Spectrum goes to AT&T and Verizon. They run networks. But the opportunity for you is to develop apps. That's what you do. You don't get to be in the network business. You're an app guy. No kidding. I mean, this is absolutely the way they believe and feel. It's frightening. Small businesses have such a better track record not saying small, well, you know, small businesses are, not, that means you have three people. I mean, what is it, 150 or something where the cutoff is? That's a small business. It's not exactly, okay, even better. I mean, that's a small business. This seems like a pretty good business to me. Okay, so we were talking about this again this afternoon, too. Bank of America decides to have a little bit of a retraction. You know, we're gonna downsize, get a little more efficient. Whack, 40,000 heads off. Oh, you know, it'll be through attrition. But that's 40,000 jobs in one company. If those same 40,000 jobs were generated by thousands of smaller businesses, the chance of them all going away at the same time is virtually impossible. It's a much more distributed, robust, redundant approach. Yet they think, well, we like working with big guys and big, you know, they're bureaucracies, we're bureaucracies, we like that, you know, and we get to go work for them when we leave government. Anybody see where Meredith Baker went when she left the commission? You know where she is? Thank you. She works for Comcast. It's not, I'm not making this up. It's truly happening. And they're getting it, all right? They're getting it. The broadcast industry doesn't have jobs laying there waiting for everybody who comes out of the FCC. The wireless industry does. The cable industry does. So yeah, do they have a favorable feeling for large corporations? Just take a look. Resource concentration. It's a scary thing as a citizen. How much spectrum do you want to have those companies hold? I mean, shouldn't we have kind of a diverse ownership? I'm just a free market guy, so I kind of have a problem with my own statement, which is, I guess if they want to own it, they should be able to. But we've seen what happens historically with monopolies. The wireless guys are monopolists. That's what they do. They try to monopolize things. I don't think they're bad people. I don't think they wake up every day wringing their hands, you know, and spinning their mustaches, but this is what they do. Well, we have lots of money. We make $2 billion a quarter in free cash flow. We've already bought everybody out in the government, and let's go buy all the spectrum that could ever compete with us. What do you think? I like it, and off they go. I don't think it's more clandestine than that. I think that's just what they do. Bell South owns AT&T. Bell South was one of the companies that got broken up by Judge Green. They're back. Same guys. Oh, now it's a duopoly, or maybe a triopoly. It's still an opoly, guys. We didn't get the cellular network that they all own now by having them build it. In fact, trying to build a national network out of the box is proving to be virtually impossible. I have a word for you. Clear. What an incredible success story Clear has been. Massive amounts of spectrum. Trying to boil the ocean, swallow the whale, whatever you want to say. They can't get it done. They're doing a crappy job everywhere for the most part, and they're going down, down, down. Why would the government want to concentrate more spectrum in the hands of fewer? It doesn't work. The networks we have weren't even built that way. Got to make that point. Got to tell the Congress people, I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess in 96 we did break that up. Yeah, we shouldn't let that converge again. Are we doing that? I mean, really amazing. The one-to-one model, the unicast model, is still what they say the crisis and the crunch is about. Why are we going to give them more spectrum? It can't work. We have an architecture problem. We do not have a spectrum problem. In Europe, I think it's Great Britain, is it? I think. Doesn't matter. European, one of those countries. 40 megs, all you can own. They put spectrum caps on them. Do you know what? They're not out of bandwidth. They built femtocells and picocells and offloading. They've gone crazy building really tightly integrated frequency reuse with their 40 meg, because that's all they can have. How'd that work? How can you do that? The dense population, 40 meg. But we're out of spectrum? Give me a break. And right now, if we lose this, we won't get it back. I mean, our future opportunities are massive if we can make this collaborative effort. We should be friends with the wireless guys. We should be working together. Do the wireless guys own every tower they're on? No, they don't. In fact, they got out of that business for the most part. That's funny. You'd think they want to own every tower. Do they own every strip mall that they have a store in? No, they don't do that either. So I'm curious. Why can't they collaborate with broadcasters if they need their spectrum so badly? Why do they have to own it? Because they don't want competition. I'm saying that they need to approach us the same way. You want to work with us? You need capacity? We're here for you, brother. That's a good idea. And the emphasis on auction revenue in the short run is a hideous mistake and is an incredibly bad deal for your grandchildren or your children. It's a bad deal. They're going to sell down the best spectrum. These guys haven't even built what they got, and they're going to do it for $24 billion one time. That's a bad deal for you, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer. Really bad deal. Make it $240 billion? Maybe we'll talk. But $24 billion, what is that? A week of deficit spending at $4.7 billion? They're going to just decimate the broadcasting industry for 5 days of debt. It's insane. But you got to characterize it that way, because that's when they stop and go, oh, yeah, I guess that makes... Because all they do is just see it as grapes to squeeze. And if we don't push back, we're going to get squeezed. Because the guys we're up against are much more powerful than the broadcasting industry. Not your fault that they are. Not my fault either. It's just a fact. So they're not going to get their objectives. They're not going to get diverse and affordable broadband offerings. Price is going to go up. Not enough competition. They're not promoting technical innovation. The chairman likes to say, we're going to unleash spectrum. Unleash the spectrum. Unfetter it. Unleash it. Take the leash off the spectrum. And you know what? I actually have challenged him specifically. He didn't like me very much, by the way, but that's okay. I said, I love your plan. And I love that you want to unleash the spectrum. But you want to do it after it's auctioned. Broadcast, I mean, literally, I want to unleash broadcasting spectrum after it's auctioned. And I said, so that means you believe that broadcasting spectrum should be unleashed? Yes. So why don't you do it now? Well, no, we don't want to let the broadcasters do other things. We just want them, after we take it from them, we want other people. No kidding. And I said, well, can't we do it now? No. But you want to unleash the spectrum, this spectrum? Yes. So let us do it. No. Doesn't make sense. I mean, it's just nice circular logic path. So then he decided he didn't want to talk to me anymore. Rural areas. Lots of stuff. I showed you that slide. Should be spectrum. I mean, I know guys, it doesn't matter. I'll say it this way. Instead of broadcasters, incumbent licensees of the spectrum. That's what you are. Do what you will with it. If you had extra spectrum somewhere and you had a translator in a market that isn't really important because everybody's got satellite dish now, can you imagine instead of just throwing that thing out, if you had the right to lease it to a WISP? There's wireless internet service providers all over this country who would just love to have the use of broadcast spectrum, and that became a new revenue stream for you, or maybe you built it yourself. Maybe you used it as your own interactive component for your TV station. Just want to make sure you have the opportunity. And in rural areas, they're not deploying broadband. We can do it without government subsidy. They haven't been able to answer that question either. When I said, would you just let me do it? I'll pay for it. I'll do it. I don't want universal service fronts. I don't want them. You keep them. The wireless industry has said, if you want LTE in rural areas, you're paying for it, and it's $120 billion. Go find some public money for us. These are guys that make $2 billion a quarter. But boy, hands are sure out when it comes to rural areas. Terrible. Job creation, again, they're not going to create jobs. Our spectrum in the hands of the wireless industry weakens the existing jobs in the broadcast industry. And what are they going to do? They're going to do what they should do. They're going to combine this and they're going to leverage into their existing operations. They're not going to create significant numbers of jobs. Plus, just like the Bank of America discussion, if anything ever goes wrong, wow, lots of heads roll at one time when the big guys have a problem. And one time, $24 billion, $18 billion, $15 billion, pick your number, who cares? Nobody even knows. They're all making them up anyway. It's all based on 70 cents a megahertz pop. That's the last one. 70 cents was the last one. Remember, who's this come from? It was $1.36. Now it's down to 70 because it's unpaired spectrum. That comes from the wireless industry. I didn't make that one up. And who are the guys who have said they're standing ready with their checkbook to write checks for the broadcast spectrum that they're taking back from you at broadcast rates and reselling? It'd be the wireless industry. So if they say it's worth 70 cents, that's take the number, take the spectrum, you can come up with 24. It's about $30 billion dollars versus potentially, and shortly you'll see something about this, 80 to 120 billion over 10 years if you leave it in the hands of broadcasters with what we can and should be able to do. Seems pretty obvious to me, unless you're just trying to do a solid for your friends in the wireless business, they have no business selling the spectrum. Those are the numbers, not mine. Keep your eye on the press. You'll see trade press, you'll see something pretty quick. I was kind of jumping to my next slide before I got there, forgive me. They are illusionary. We haven't seen the AOM. The AOM hasn't been seen. Congressman Dingell, Dean of the House, super old guy, been around forever. Dingell's a big friend of broadcasting, always has been. Asks for the AOM, specifically. Maybe some of you saw that. I want to see it. You work for me, Mr. Jenikowski. I'm the Dean of the House. I've got seniority number one in Congress. I ran the telecom committee forever. Done. Told him, I'll let you have it after you give me auction authority. I've never seen anything like that. Voluntary, who knows? You get enough spectrum fees slapped on your head, it may not be voluntary. Reserve prices, how do you know what the reserve price is going to be? All this stuff is illusionary. Concentration of spectrum, duopoly or triopoly, innovators like you get disabled, small businesses get hurt, localism goes down the tube, that which you do every day. Look at this. Again, broadcasters live and operate in local communities of all sizes on a regular basis. The other guys don't. So, it's going to take too long. That's why. Done in 2021? Maybe. Doesn't sound like there's much of a crisis to me, folks. If that's when they're talking about it, and they are. 8 or 10 years. That's what they're saying. Maybe we'll have this thing going in 8 or 10 years. It is a complete falsehood. So, you've all been extremely kind to listen to me rant and rave about this, but I hope you will activate in whatever way you see fit and ask for the right to be able to participate in the next generation. Take off the shackles, you decide what you want to do. If it's your existing model, more power to you. If it's a combination, excellent. But the last line is the one that I think I really like people to take home. Until the services provided by U.S. broadcasters using their spectrum, got too long, so I took that out, but using the spectrum that you have been entrusted become truly relevant in the daily lives of Americans, you are in their crosshairs. And you will not be able to get out until you can say, this is what we do, and 90, not 10%, but 90% of the population benefits from it every day and would be outraged if you even considered taking it away from them. We've got to do that. So anyway, thank you so much for letting me crash your conference. It was a great pleasure, and always nice to meet fellow broadcasters and come to a beautiful facility. So thank you very much.